Ann Rilero, I met Ann first through the Pacific Whale Foundation when she was working there for years. And Ann did an amazing job. My gosh, I just love the work that you did, Ann. And I mean, Ann moved on to a really amazing cause since then. And she got started with the Maui Nui Marine Resource Council and has been doing, I mean, gangbuster work, just amazing work. And I'm so happy that you and Jill could come in today. I got Jill Wharton here, who's also project and research coordinator. It's nice to meet you, Jill.
Nice to meet you.
There's a wonderful story behind the Maui Nui Marine Resource Council. And I've been reading, I have to say, Ann, you're amazing. She sent me some notes. It's actually a book here. I mean, she sent 5 pages of notes. It's like you're, it's like, wow, okay. And it's really an amazing story, but you're going to be heading off tonight for a benefit night for Maui Nui Marine Source Council. We love Flatbread Company in Paia. It's going to happen from 5 to 9 in case anyone's out and around wondering what they want to do tonight. That's a cool one to go to, right?
Exactly. And aloha, Cindy. And thank you for all of your kind words. It's so great to see you.
I love you, Ann. I mean, it's great.
I love you, too. And it's always a treat to come in here and get to chat with you and catch up. And yes, we're heading off to Flatbread Company later today. Starting at 5 o'clock, they have their benefit night. And, you know, and it's 2 days before Thanksgiving. So if you're busy making pumpkin pies and stuffing and you're thinking that the last thing you want to do is cook tonight, go pick up a pizza at Flatbread or treat yourself to dinner at Flatbread. And for every large pizza they sell tonight, they'll donate $3.50 to Maui Nui Marine Resource Council. And the smaller flatbreads, I think they'll donate $1.75. And it will all go towards helping to protect our coral reefs and work for clean ocean water along the shores here of Maui. So go enjoy some pizza and treat yourself.
Well, you know, we all kind of know about reefs, but I truthfully have learned more about reefs than I ever knew. And I have a feeling most of our listeners don't really know. We know the surface story. We know there's a problem with reefs. We know kind of what's going on. But, I mean, you have done, can I say deep dive with reefs? But you've done a super deep dive with this with Jill and have really gone to find out what's really going on with facts and figures and knowledge and tests and things that are kind of really amazing that you've actually found out. I mean, basically, it's beyond proof. And what you found out is kind of scary in a way as well, right?
Yeah, our reefs are in bad shape. Reefs worldwide are really suffering from warming ocean waters and climate change. Reefs are very susceptible to changes in temperature. And even just 2 degrees difference, 2 degrees warmer ocean, can really start cause the corals to start bleaching and dying. So what we're doing at Maui Nui Marine Resource Council is looking at what we can do to help our reefs. And so one of the big things here is water quality. You know, corals need clean ocean water to survive. And there are a lot of things that we can do, you know, things that are happening on this island that are impacting the water quality of our shorelines. And so, Jill just joined us back in September. And we're so fortunate to have her. And she's taken on quite a few projects for us. And one of the projects she's taken on is our reef-friendly landscaping program. And I'll let her talk a little bit about that. Again, this is all about water quality, and, you know, what we do on land makes a difference for the ocean and our corals.
And I'm so glad you are going to take this on, because we kind of have known this, but we haven't known the how, what, where, when, why, or the true impact. And you found out a lot. What have you found out about it, Jill?
So based off of our water quality program, our coastal water quality testing program, Hui'oka Vai'ola, there's a lot of data showing that there's excess nutrients in the water. And sometimes those nutrients can actually come from fertilizers that are being put and used as landscaping products on coastal properties. So with our reef-friendly landscaping project, we are working with resorts, golf courses, hotels, and assisting them in transitioning to organic land care. So we have an organic land care consultant, Dwayne Sparkman. He was the chief engineer at the Westin over in Ka'anapali. And he had a ton of success transitioning that property to mostly organic land care. as we know, whatever we put on land is going to end up in our oceans. And a lot of those synthetic fertilizers, chemical pesticides, chemical herbicides, they can really inhibit the coral. They can inhibit photosynthesis. They can smother corals as well, cause algae blooms. So we really want to try to reduce that as much as we possibly can. And a lot of times properties don't necessarily know where to start. So our goal is to reduce nutrient runoff as much as possible. And then we'll offer an incentive, like a certification for properties that do make that organic land care transition. They'll be certified as using reef-friendly landscaping.
And that is such an important thing. And they say, you know, the other important thing, and I'm glad you got someone from the Westin who had worked there and that understands this, is trying to explain it to the people who are doing the landscaping, who are working for a major corporation many times, most of these hotels are, of how to explain this in a positive way that can make a difference. I believe in my heart everyone wants to do the right thing. I mean, some people call me Pollyanna, but I think they do. But I think at the same time, you know, if they don't have a clear-cut way of knowing and seeing the difference that it's made, and if it isn't shown how it could happen, it's easy to avoid making changes, right?
Right. So we want to make the transition as easy as we possibly can. And it really does come down to doing the right thing. And I genuinely do think people want to do the right thing. We're just kind of giving them a little push and showing them how to do it step by step of the way with, you know, Dwayne's expertise. He has done so much work here and around the island and is very knowledgeable. So we're very excited to have him help with that.
So when you go to a hotel with some of these, I assume, how do you present it? You should present them the facts and figures and knowledge and show them the options and how it can happen. How do you take that step to make this transition into doing a positive step that will not cause negative runoff?
Yeah, so I approach it kind of like corals are alive. Coral reefs are super important to not only the culture here, but also the tourism economy, and if, as well as shoreline protection. And if we don't have those reefs, then we lose a lot of that income. We lose a lot of that value. So we go in and approach it that way. And Dwayne comes in and we'll look at whatever properties are currently using and say, oh, this is what we can replace it with. And this is the organic replacement of this. There's compost tea that's being produced on the island as well, which is microbe-rich. It restores the life in the soil. So we really want to focus on restoring that soil health. So mm-hmm. then you don't have to apply fertilizers as much as you normally would.
What about, you know, we know that when you have a golf course, you use recycled water, you know, of course, and a lot of ag places, of course, use recycled water, too. What about this recycled water that's used? Is that safe, or what have you been able to test that?
Yes, you know, recycled water on Maui is generally safe for applying to golf courses and landscaping. There is some work being done with our friends Ridge to Reefs with plants called vetiver to try to take up some of the recycled water. Right now in South Maui, for example, we have an excess of recycled water.
Really?
We don't have enough outlets and ways to pump the water out to all the places that could use it. And so in the interim, our friends at Ridge to Reefs are working on finding ways to use this water in a productive way and to avoid having to put it into injection wells. So the recycled water has still got nutrients in it, and when we put it into injection wells, and then the injection wells allow that water to seep into the nearshore ocean areas, it brings with it nitrogen and nitrates, and also some pharmaceuticals. So that's not good for the ocean. So we want to avoid the injection wells. Earlier this summer, we had a groundbreaking for this project using vetiver over by the Kihei Wastewater Reclamation Plant. And you know, Mayor Victorino was there, our council members were there, and they are all very interested in finding ways to use this excess recycled water until we can really develop the infrastructure that will allow it to be used, you know, further from the wastewater plant.
Very interesting.
So, yeah.
I wasn't aware of that. You know, and also this, I wanted to bring this up. I mean, I'm hearing here that you have 29 shoreline locations in South and West Maui, and you test 19 different sites, right?
Well,
and you have volunteers taking care of doing this, a lot of them working early morning hours to gather water samples and in some of these places, right?
Yes, we actually have a program that we run in cooperation with the Nature Conservancy and another group, West Maui Ridge to Reefs Initiative, and we are testing ocean water quality at 29 locations in South and West Maui.
Wow!
And we do it every 3 weeks, and it's all made possible by volunteers. We've got this great group of volunteers, more than 30 of them.
Wow!
And they get up, they get out there to the ocean, and they're going out and wading into knee-deep water, gathering samples, bringing them up to their cars. They have little labs in their cars, laboratories, portable labs, and doing some initial testing there. And then they bring the water over to samples to some indoor labs that we have. We have a lab at the Hawaiian Islands Humpback Whale National Marine Sanctuary and another one up in West Maui. And they there's additional testing that occurs there. And then we package the water up, the water samples up, and freeze them, and then ship them to Oahu for even more testing.
Wow.
So it's quite involved, but we are learning a lot. We've been doing this since 2016.
What have you found?
Oh, we're finding all kinds of things. First of all, by doing this testing, and we're doing it in cooperation with the State of Hawaii Department of Health Clean Water Branch. And they, we worked with them early in the beginning to develop a protocol so that they could really rely upon our data. And mm-hmm. they could give it to places like the EPA or the state or the community, and it would be reliable and accurate. So we're finding things like we're learning where the hot spots are. Where is our nearshore water quality most impaired? We're learning what kinds of things, you know, is it nitrogen, is it sediment runoff, you know, what is it that's causing water quality problems? And then it gives us the clues we need to go out and then try to find solutions to these issues. So, for example, sediment runoff is a big issue in West Maui and parts of South Maui. And sediment is basically soil that's loosened and transported into the ocean, you know, by rain, by streams, by wind sometimes. And there are different causes. For example,
and fires.
So wildfires burn all the vegetation off the land.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have bare soil, the next thing that happens is that soil, if it rains, it gets washed into the ocean.
But, you know, I was reading your figures, and what was shocking is how much sediment comes down after a fire and how much gets washed. I was amazed. Weren't you surprised how much comes into the ocean?
Yes, it's quite astounding to have. Yeah, we did some monitoring in the Pohakea watershed, which is right by Ma'alaya, and we found it was like 60 tons of sediment that wash into the ocean. So, yeah, so we so sediment is something. Another cause of sediment that's been in the news lately are the Axis deer. You know, we have the overpopulation of deer. They're grazing, they're removing vegetation, and then their sharp little hooves are loosening the soil. And again, when it rains, we'll have more of an issue with sediment runoff. So we've been looking at ways to just try to help, you know, control this population of Axis deer, you know, helping some local ranchers look at fencing some of the gulches on their property, just trying to find ways to address that issue. So, you know, when you think about coral reefs, you know, people say, yeah, we want to save the coral reefs. And we say, well, you have to look up slope. You have to look at land because that's where the issues arise. And, you know, if we on Maui can address issues like sediment runoff or excess nutrients through things like the reef-friendly landscaping program, choosing, making choices to use fewer herbicides, no herbicides or pesticides, or to reduce the amount of synthetic fertilizers that we put on our yards and grounds, then we can make a difference from land and help save our coral reefs.
I have to ask because we all know, you know, the coastline is prime real estate property. we won't ask price tags, but we know it's rather expensive. But, of course, there's areas that are public beaches. but then there's the areas that are private homes. What do you do about trying to monitor and figure out if people are using some unfortunate pesticides and things that might be getting into the water at, in the homes along the coastlines?
Yeah, we are designing a homeowner program for reef-friendly landscaping as well. We're trying to target the bigger properties first, but we know people at home who are, you know, especially during COVID when people were spending a lot more time at home, they were getting outside, they were working in their gardens. Mm-hmm. And so I think people are looking at ways to conserve water. They're growing their own food. And so we want to design kind of a DIY reef-friendly landscaping at your home. So that is to come. It is definitely something we're working on as well.
So did you find some hot spots that kind of shocked you when you were doing all of this monitoring and all this work? I mean, obviously you get a lot of statistics and information, and were you able to pinpoint some problem areas along the coastline there?
Well, Cove Park is a problem area. There's a high level of nutrients there.
If people don't know where Cove Park is,
I'm
sorry. Listening, can you tell them where that is?
Yes, Cove Park in Kihei. It's the most popular surfing location in South Maui. It's where a lot of people go to bring their kids to learn to surf, where you go to surf if you're someone like me who is still trying to figure out how to stand up on a board.
And the cross area along Kihei where they'd know where that is exactly, if they're visiting or something, what area would that be?
It's right near Kalama Park.
Okay.
Yeah, so we found that there were very high levels of nitrogen and nitrates in the water. And so, again, putting on our
protective... How high was it? Because I read these figures and it blew my mind.
It was like 100 times higher than the state standard. So what we're trying to do, you know, what we do then is we put on our detective caps. You know, where is this coming from? Mm-hmm. So nitrogen and nitrates come from things like agriculture. So there's not a whole lot of agriculture happening right now in Kihei. So the other source might be from cesspools or from individual septic systems.
Wow.
Or also from the injection wells that are right there in Kihei. So again, you know, when we identify the problem, you know, we identified why the water quality was impaired, then we can start looking at the causes, and then we can start working with the community on solutions.
It's so important. When I heard it was 100 times over what the standard is, I mean, it's like, and you know what, on top of that, people are in that water.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, So we want clean water, not just for the coral reefs, but also for people. You know, we all want clean ocean water. And so, again, we're trying to help. We take a lot of pride in working with the community to solve problems. And we're looking at science-based, culturally appropriate solutions that we can enact in partnership with the community.
And we all love the ocean, and we all want to take care of the ocean and the reefs. But yet, you know, you found that there's a lot of trash and microplastics. When I saw the movie Plastics About the Ocean, you know, the shocking thing is that there's plastic in all of the ocean. Oh, every single ocean right now has microplastic.
Mm-hmm.
But the impact of it is, of course, that means the sea life, the turtles, the sharks, mm-hmm. the whales, all the fish, they're mm-hmm. infected by our junk and trash and microplastics as well.
Exactly. And so one of our staff members, Tiara Stark, she wrote a grant to National Geographic. And she has received a grant to study the gulches and streams here on Maui that are transporting debris and microplastics into the ocean. And it's always easy to say, oh, yeah, marine debris, it's coming from somewhere else. But, you know, the fact is that marine debris is also coming from here on land on Maui. And so she's looking at where this is occurring. They're going to be monitoring it. And just, again, doing the detective work that's needed to help solve the problem. So if we can identify hot spots where debris is originating, then we can go and address it.
And I know that you, can we go into oysters, please?
Yes.
Yes. Oh, my God, the great oyster, the oysters, I don't know if we call it a scandal or the oyster detective story, the weird turn of what happened with the good idea of using oysters to purify the water. Can we go into what happened with the oyster project?
we've been, you know, the good news is that we have, the oysters are doing well and our project's recovered.
Thank you.
But we did, we have the oysters in cages in Ma'alaya Harbor. And one morning we went in and found some of the cages had been stolen. and we put the word out there to the community, because you only want to eat oysters that come from clean ocean water. And if you eat oysters that come from polluted water, and Matlaya Harbor is not clean water, it's polluted water, you can get a disease called vibriosis. And it's a very, very nasty gastrointestinal disease. So we put the word out there because we didn't want anyone to buy oysters from someone selling them out of the back of a truck or something and then end up getting sick.
Or, so, you know, have a big party. Everyone come get your oysters. And it's like, oh, my God.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah. So,
did you ever find out who stole the oysters?
We did
you
not
never
find
found
out.
Those.
But we did have an interesting thing that nature gave us. We had little volunteer baby oysters, or baby oysters. Well, oysters in their juvenile stage are called spat. And we had these spat, like, attaching themselves to the outsides of our cages, our oyster cages. Like, mm-hmm. they were volunteering. And some of them even get inside the cage.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, you've seen that, Jill, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
We were out there just this morning, actually, checking on the oysters. And
in Matlaya Harbor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there's some native species that will attach themselves to the cages and attach themselves to the oysters inside the cages. So sometimes you'll have two growing on top of each other, basically.
Is there a love story here?
For me, there is. I love the oysters. It's so fun to go out there. We check them every other week.
How many oysters are out there in the cages?
There were 10,000.
Oh my gosh, that's not. I was thinking about 30.
Yeah, they're all over. So we have a couple of different species. And
can
we
you
check
explain
them.
In case people are listening, they don't know why? Why are you doing this with 10,000 oysters in Matlaya Harbor? What's the story behind that?
Well, oysters are filter feeders. That's how they feed. They bring water across their gills, and in the process, they take out sediment from the ocean. So a single oyster can filter 40 gallons of water a day.
That's a lot.
40 gallons of water a day. Yeah. So if you multiply that by 10,000, it's quite a bit. So the big issue in Matlaya Harbor, or one of the big issues, is sediment. So the oysters are helping us to remove that sediment from the water. And there are coral reefs growing there in Matlaya Bay, Matlaya Harbor. It's a sea turtle area. Mm-hmm. There are limu beds where sea turtles are feeding. So, we're trying to, again, improve the water quality, and we're using the oysters.
And they're doing the work for free.
I know, they're wonderful. Like,
yeah.
And we decided that it wasn't fair to put it all on the oysters, though, because sediment comes down from the adjoining watershed, the Pohokea watershed. So we decided we had to do some work up there. So we installed fire breaks up there. We got a grant to do that because that's a pretty dry, windy area that's prone to wildfires. So, again, trying to keep the plants on the land so that there's less sediment runoff. We've done some monitoring there, and we're hoping to raise some more funding to do some more work up in that watershed to keep sediment from flowing into the harbor, make life a little easier for the oysters.
Yeah, definitely. And on top of that, I mean, the thing that is the good story is, and I was talking to Gary here about it, and I said, you know, all this work can't be done without a couple of things. Someone with the dream and the vision to do it, and someone who's a good leader who can get people behind that. The second thing is, of course, being able to get the grants. It's not easy writing a grant. I mean, I've never even tried. I mean, if someone could say there's a grant here for you, Cindy, I couldn't do it. So, I mean, grant writing is really, really important to try to get this work done. Who was responsible for writing the grant that got, okay, who did that?
It was very much a team effort at mm-hmm. Maui Nui Marine Resource Council. So the grant you're speaking of is one from National Fish and Wildlife Foundation and NOAA. So this is funding that's appropriated by Congress to this National Fish and Wildlife Foundation. So it's essentially federal money coming to Maui. And this is a grant to address the coastal flooding that occurs in Kihei. For all of you folks who live anywhere near South Kihei Road, over by Kalani Hakoi Gulch and Waipuolani Gulch and Keokea Gulch, you know about the flooding that occurs there on a pretty regular basis. And that flooding originates way up high on Haleakala. We've got, you know, it rains up there and flows down the hill toward the ocean, and it causes flooding. So we obtained a $210,000 grant. That
Yay!
We're yes, it was very exciting. I was definitely jumping up and down when I heard about it, to address this coastal flooding using natural and nature-based methods. And so we're raising money for the match for that. We have, you know, most grants require a match. So we have to raise, I think it's $250,000.
Oh, I didn't know that part of the story.
Yes. So but we're doing it. We're doing it. Uh-huh. We're fine. And we can also do it with in-kind and labor and things like that. So we are raising the funding to do that. And we're going to be working with the community on just some initial site planning. And then the nice thing about this grant program is it's a pipeline grant. So next year we can go back for some more money to get the permits and to do more detailed plans. And then finally at the end we can apply for funding to actually implement the ideas and the plans that we've developed. So we're excited that we can help to address coastal flooding and protect homes and properties and infrastructure, and at the same time protect the reefs by reducing the sediment that runs into the ocean.
Well, we only have a minute left, or a minute and a half left, and amazing, you covered so much, Anne, and you covered it so well. But there's a lot of information we've covered here that people might not have been able to hear the whole story behind. So how do they help, and where do they go to help?
Okay, so the best place to go to help is our website, mauireefs.org, and you can learn about our events. We have an event December 1st. It's Talk Story with Maui Nui Marine Resource Council. We're going to be talking about all of our programs and projects. That's at 5:30 p.m. on Zoom. There's information about that on our website. There's information about ways you can donate, ways that you can adopt a beach and help support the water quality monitoring at that beach.
Adopt an oyster.
And adopt an oyster. Yeah, we have an oyster adoption
program. Can you name
the
oyster that you adopt?
No.
Oh,
okay. Well, you can. You can name it, but it's not going to have its name applied to its shell or anything like that.
No, I wouldn't do that.
Right.
No.
But you can come up with some great names, I'm sure. We should have a naming contest.
I want Pearl.
Yes. Yeah, so we have all of, you know, a lot of information on our website. Again, mauireefs.org.
Mauireefs.org. This is a really great way to get involved. I mean, you're making a difference. I'm so proud of you, Anne. I really am. I'm so proud of you. My gosh, the work you're doing is making such a difference. And I know how much you love the oceans. You've given so much of your life towards it. And, you know, it's making a difference. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a wonderful thing. It's making a difference. It's one thing to want to make a difference, but to see someone who is really making a difference makes me feel so good.
Oh, well, I'm glad to hear that. And, you know, it's very much a team effort.
Yeah.
You know, we've got a great staff. We've got a great group of volunteers. Our donors and supporters and friends in the community are wonderful. So it always warms my heart every single day.
MauiReefs.org. Hey, I want to wish everyone a very, very happy Thanksgiving. Aloha.
Yes, aloha. Aloha. Thank you.
With today's Island News headlines, I'm Gary Forsberg from the Visionary Radio News Center. The State Department of Transportation said...